Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I am Gray Drake, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Woohoo!
Ow!
Yes! And again, a special time because we have Gray, who's neither fat nor a guy. But it's always a pleasure to have her on the show. You were on the show, it was like end of the year, 2010, I believe.
It was. It was like the holidays, and you know, we're just full of like bedazzled cheer because we were talking about burlesque.
Yes, burlesque.
It was wonderful. I'm happy to be back, though. Now it's spring, and I'm totally Twitter-pated.
Ooh, are you Twitter-pated?
I so am Twitter-pated. Spring has sprung in both the Southern California area and my heart.
Aw, that is so sweet. It's so poetic.
It's so, like, fun to be, you know, love.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been there before.
With your lovely wife and even your children. It's a different kind of love.
It's a different kind of love. There's a little bit more of the frustrating love when you have a two-year-old. Than when you're in your 30s.
Yeah, it's more like, I love to hate you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I love you, but.
Yeah.
Anyways. Before we get started, let's talk real quickly about where you can get a hold of us. Of course, you can go to fatguysatthemovies.com and check us out. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and you'll come up with all the stuff in the Fat Guys feed. And for some strange reason, you'll also find a link to Fozzie Bear's podcast. For some reason, Woo! He has somehow co-opted our name into his show.
How funny.
So, yeah, it's bizarre if that's what you get when
He's
you
smart.
Search.
He's a go-getter.
He is. You can check us out on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/FGATM and like our page, because that's how we define our self-worth. And then you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com or leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We've got one of those. We'll listen to that in the third segment so we can swear. But right now we're on the radio and on the podcast. And Greg, tell us how to get a hold of you, what you do, because you've got a whole bunch of stuff.
I do. I have so much fun stuff happening. You can find me at popcornmafia.com. We do a weekly show, which Kevin was just a guest on. It was awesome.
Yes. We were talking about Starman.
Oh, it was so good, which is actually going to come up again this week when we talk about a certain film. You can reach me at gray@popcornmafia.com. And you can also check out my movie reviews in the written form at movies.com.
And you can catch you on CNN.
Boom, CNN. Licking Anderson Cooper's face, bitches. Oops.
Wow.
I swore.
Did you really lick his face? That'd be awesome. You'd be
wish.
Like, I give this movie an A.
I so wish. All I do is just sit in a little room and listen to a voice on an earpiece, and I'm just desperately hoping that someday they put me in the same room with either he or Wolf Blitzer.
You may have to comb your tongue after you lick Wolf Blitzer's face.
Hey, whatever it takes, I'm ready.
And you're going to be on CNN this weekend, correct?
I am, this Saturday at 1:40 p.m. Pacific. We're talking about a couple new releases and a couple things on DVD.
Rock on. So check that out on your local CNN affiliate. Well, I guess CNN, whatever it is on your cable box.
Woo!
Like station 10,412.
Right, exactly.
Wherever they're putting it now, between Disney Channel and Nickelodeon. Anyways, let's start talking about the first movie, which actually I don't think either of us saw. We were talking off the air. You missed this one, The Lincoln Lawyer.
Yes, correct? I am seeing it very soon. But I am really excited just at the very thought of Matthew McConaughey taking his shirt off again.
Of course. Well, let's just play the clip here real quick. The Lincoln Lawyer, Matthew McConaughey, stars as a high-priced criminal lawyer who takes the case of a playboy accused of sexual assault, only to find a deeper truth.
Hey, Mick, I got something really big for you.
Lewis Roulette?
This whole thing is a setup. I made a mistake with that woman, and she was setting me up.
Down.
I need $100,000 up front. I'm working on $550 an hour. I take it none of that's a problem?
No. I just got lucky.
According to the victim, she was at home alone when the suspect forced her down.
You didn't strike Miss Campo with your left fist.
No.
Threatened to kill
no,
her.
No, I am not that guy.
I don't know, Mick. This kid feels wrong to me.
Are you sure there's not anything that you're not telling me?
Do you know if he takes his shirt off on this one? I'm just curious because he's in a suit through all the trailer.
I know. I doubt he takes his shirt off because it's about, you know, official things like law. Bah.
Law and murder or attempted murder.
Whatever, Ryan Phillippe. If both of them have their shirts on through the whole movie, I don't know why I'm going to go see it.
you're going to be so mad. You're going to stand up. You're going to, I demand my money back.
That's the only problem with reviewing films, especially over at movies.com. I have to see everything no matter what, even if they're just wearing their shirts the whole time. Boo, no stars.
Yeah, it's crazy. People, I get this all the time when I do reviews. People are like, oh, that's such a great job. That would be so awesome. I'm like, yeah, you got to see a lot of crap, though.
It's true.
And, I mean, it's just you're forced to sit and watch, like, Beastly.
Ugh. I actually thought I was going to kill myself and just go with it. I was actually
begging.
You
mean begging, the movie? Or you...
I was begging strangers for something sharp.
Really? You're just walking around going, can I take that? Like, that's my earring. Well, it has a sharp end to it.
Uh-huh. Finally, I started wrestling an old guy for his soda pop because his straw looked sharp enough.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty
bad.
Did
you win?
Well,
did you cut yourself?
I didn't win, and I didn't cut myself. I had to watch the rest of the movie, and it was a very dark day for Gray Drake.
Yeah, well, here's one thing about The Lincoln Lawyer. You know who else is in this movie? Is Josh Lucas, which is, to me...
Wait, what?
Josh Lucas plays a lawyer in the movie, too.
What?
Apparently, he must be, like, the Madison lawyer or the Monroe lawyer.
Because Josh Lucas is the poor man's Matthew McConaughey.
I know. I was thinking the same thing because he shows up and he looks. It's sort of like, you know how it's like they take an imprint of a penny, but they don't put the final press on, and like they just put different presses on, or like the if you ever get a Canadian quarter and you get the old Canadian quarters and it's got the young Queen Elizabeth, and then you get the new Canadian quarters and it's got the old Queen Elizabeth on it. That's what I feel like about Matthew McConaughey and Josh Lucas.
See, that is crazy. I wonder if when this film opens and people actually see it, if there's like a hole that's going to open in the space-time continuum or something.
I would love to see that happen.
Because I'm shocked that they would cast Josh Lucas in this movie along with Matthew McConaughey.
And they just throw him in at the end. They're kind of like, you know, Matthew McConaughey, you know, Ryan Phillippe, you know, and everybody else, Pauly Shore. They're listening to everybody who's even not in the movie. And then suddenly they go, and Josh Lucas, bleep, and you're like, what?
50 Cent.
Yeah, you know what would be, it's sort of like if you took Dermot Mulroney and Dylan McDermott and put them in the same movie.
Oh no, that's horrible.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome, except, and you call it like A Tale of Two D's.
Ooh, yeah, that would work.
Or D-bags, I don't know, do we like them?
Let me get on the horn of Hollywood. I'll pitch up that idea.
Yeah, just work on it.
Soft pitch. Did I tell you about the soft pitch I did to The Asylum?
No.
I was talking about Charlie Sheen.
Soft pitch
Sheen
like
the
softball?
Other day.
You did like a lesbian softball league pitch?
No, that's hard pitch.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, that's them. Right. Sorry.
No, like high school softball, the tossing. No, church softball, underhand.
Church,
toss.
Praise the Lord.
But
it's a home run.
But I was on Twitter. I was talking about Charlie Sheen, and who isn't? And somehow the guy who runs the Asylum's Twitter account was commenting on it, and I said to him, like, you need to do Charlie Sheen versus, like, Mega Shark versus Charlie Sheen. And he actually said, he's like, oh yeah, I actually already sent that out there, and it made some entertainment column, and I'm like, I would so watch that movie.
I would watch it. I would buy it immediately. I don't even think I would watch it before I buy it. I just immediately pass. Like,
I would
here's my credit card. Do your worst.
I'd put it in a spoon and I inject it into my vein.
Yes, I'd be with you. We'll be Charlie Sheen Mega Shark junkies together.
That's right. Cool. Well, The Lincoln Lawyer gets a preemptive suck because they didn't let us see it.
Yeah. Ho hum. I don't know. Lawyers, playboys.
It might be good.
His
it all depends
his
on
Lincoln,
whether he takes his shirt.
His Lincoln Continental license plate says not guilty. Bah.
Yeah. Meh. We got to go to a break.
So, hey, we are back with Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm Gray Drake, doing an imitation of Fat Albert, because this is Fat Guys at the Movies. Did you like that, Kevin Carr?
I it sounded just like Fat Albert.
Hey. Okay, that was way better.
I don't know. Oh, man. I think I hurt my voice. I just blew Gray's mind during the break here, so I can't exactly say why. Maybe we'll tell you in the middle segment. But it involved competitive eating.
God, my mind is so blown, I don't even have a response.
Well, let's talk about more realistic endeavors like aliens on the freeway.
Woo!
Let's talk about Paul. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost play fanboys who pick up a real alien on the road from Comic-Con.
Going on a road trip, huh?
Yeah.
On a tour of America's most famous UFO hotspots.
I hear that.
Hi. I'm Paul.
What have you done to him?
He fainted.
Yeah, but you made him faint.
But it's not like I set my phaser to faint.
You've got a phaser?
This is a matter of life and death.
Heads up. We just got reassigned.
I want E.T. back in his
fishbowl or dead ASAP.
You saw this one, didn't you?
I did see Paul, yes.
What'd you think?
I thought it was super funny. It was like if E.T. swore a lot and, you know, referred to his genitals a lot.
Mm. See, I described it when I was doing radio interviews. I described it as a raunchy, grown-up road trip version of E.T.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny. I don't think it was on par with, like, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining.
Yeah, because Simon Pegg and Nick Frost wrote it. But yes. Greg Mottolo, is that how you say his name? He directed
Greg Mottola, yeah. Mottola.
And he's the one who did Superbad. And I like Superbad. I thought Superbad was funnier, and I thought the other Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movies were funnier. So sort of like the combination wasn't fantastic, but it was still had some funny parts to it.
Yeah, like I don't think that it's like an amazing, amazing movie, but it's definitely a solid night out, especially for March.
Yeah, my biggest disappointment in it was the fact that pretty much the funniest parts of the movie were, in fact, in the trailer.
Yeah, and that's always a bummer.
Yeah.
Huge bummer.
I mean, some movies... Like what was funny is Superbad had funny parts in the movie, in the trailers, but the funniest parts of Superbad were not going to be allowed in the trailers because they were too raunchy or dirty. And
And
this one, like, it's the bird scene. That's hilarious, but if you know it's coming. So it loses its impact. Also the bridge scene with the explosion.
Absolutely.
Again, you know that's coming. There's a couple things in there. Sort of like what the scene I refer to as the Book of Eli moment. The farmhouse.
Totally. I don't think that the studio has a lot of faith in this movie.
No.
So I think that they wanted to make sure that the trailer really got a lot of attention, but that's a shame because it is better than I think they think it is.
Yeah. It's one of those movies I think it's going to play better on video.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I think it's if you saw it on cable or you rented it, you'd be really excited. And movie nerds are going to love it.
It definitely has a lot of in jokes and references.
Right. So it's sort of like a constantly just going, I'm such a nerd. I want to kill myself. Like,
I got it. Yeah. They do that a lot, and they have a lot of lines and stuff like that, which work. It is one of those movies that I do wish that they had sort of stars aligned differently. And that Edgar Wright had a chance to direct it, because obviously he wasn't, because I'm sure he was all wrapped up with Scott Pilgrim at the time. But he did so well with these two guys in both Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. And if you go back and you watch those movies, they're not a laugh a minute type movie. They're just good, solid movies that just have some incredibly awesome scenes. And that's what I felt this could have been. But there was just a certain heart that was missing.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, I definitely felt like just something wasn't in the mix when I walked out. I had fun. But what did you think of Seth Rogen as the voice of Paul?
You know what? I'm getting tired of Seth Rogen.
Oh, you're over it. Okay.
Yeah. I think I hit my peak with the Green Hornet, where I'm like, well, now he's not even trying. Because the whole thing was when he did the Green Hornet was like, well, he's lost weight and he's trying to be the hero. He's trying to be kind of like the action star. And it was still dopey old Seth Rogen and a stunt double who did all the action.
I gotta say, I kind of like him better as a voice.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I like him as a little blob of goo in that...
Monster vs. Aliens he was good
at. Right, yeah. And I liked him as the alien voice. Like, I think that he has, like, a real kind of likability.
Yeah.
And when I'm not seeing him on screen, there's something that makes me not want to punch anything.
I don't think he fit the look of the character, though. You know, I mean, it seemed like... It just didn't...
You wanted a fat alien is what you wanted.
Well, yeah. In Monsters vs. Aliens, he was Bob. And I'm like, he totally fit that role. And you're like, yes. You know, that would be kind of like taking like Samuel L. Jackson and making him do the voice of Boots from Dora the Explorer. He's like, I am tired of this racist. MF
map. Isn't that the monkey? You're racist.
What? Oh, I didn't even mean it that way. Good Lord. I couldn't say God. Dora.
What is this, racist guys at the movies?
Oh,
I'm
wow.
furious with you right now. We're fighting.
I'm sure you are.
I am at the Popcorn Mafia. Do not support any kind of racism or any kind of inappropriate jokes at all whatsoever. Which is a total joke.
This is totally not true. Anyway.
So, I can never stay mad at you.
Oh, I know. I'm so adorable. Anyways, what's your... I'm going to say Kinda Rocks for Paul. What's your final grade on Paul?
Yeah, I would definitely say go see it because you're not going to want to punch anything after.
Okay. So is it Rocks, Kinda Rocks, Sucks, or Kinda Sucks?
Oh, Kinda Rocks.
Kinda Rocks, okay. Let's go to the next one, which is Limitless. Bradley Cooper stars as a man hooked on a drug that allows him to tap into the full potential of his brain.
You know how they say that we can only access 20% of our brain? This lets you access all of it.
A tablet a day, and I was limitless. I now had cultural appetites. I finished my book in 4 days.
I'd like to renegotiate my advance.
Math became useful.
From 12,000 to 2.3 million in 10 days.
I'm baffled by this guy.
So, Eddie Mora, you do know you're a freak. What's your secret?
Medication.
That's sexy drug, sexy actor, sexy movie. Loved it.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. You mentioned Matthew McConaughey, not taking off his shirt or whatever. Bradley Cooper never takes off his shirt in this movie.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of didn't notice because I was so busy looking at his dreamy blue eyes.
They really popped the color on that one, don't they?
Huge color correction on this movie that really, really works. Like, it was part of the whole thing of the film that I loved was how stylistic it was. Like, I loved the effects. I loved just how sleek the whole movie turned out. And I'm really surprised that this is the one of the director's first like major films, Neil Berger.
Yeah, I thought there were some really fantastic directing choices in it. And I have to say, when I saw the trailer to this, I'm like, oh God, this is going to suck. And then I heard buzz that they weren't going to screen it for us. And I'm like, well, that means it's going to be even worse. And then they dropped a screening for us and I went and saw it. And I was pleasantly surprised with this movie.
I agree. I thought it was really funny and really, well, not, excuse me, it wasn't funny. I was
like, which part were you watching?
Hold on, cut that out. What am I talking about? No, I thought it was really interesting how captivating it was. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so on the edge of my seat the entire movie and would catch myself going like, why is your face frozen in this look of horror? Like, you need to settle down. I was just really into it. And I actually thought that this was a very, like, Danny Boyle-esque movie.
I see where you're getting from that. Sort of from the style and the approach to the storytelling.
Right. And it was very, like, a Slumdog Millionaire color correction. And I'm into it. I really was surprised at how much I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, there were some flaws in it. And the problem is it's sort of like in a Superman comic where they're like, well, we have to have Kryptonite because he's Superman. And you got to have something that defeats him. And this one, he's so brilliant. And he's got this, you know, he can crunch numbers for the stock market and all this stuff. Yet he can't count how many pills he has left.
It also kind of half spoiler alert. Uh-huh. He is super duper smart, but doesn't really think to kill the guy that's blackmailing him.
Yeah, there are these plot holes that I can forgive. Because you need him, because otherwise he's so smart, if he's like really 50 steps ahead of everybody, you know, he'd know what happens at the end of the film before we do.
Right. Well, and speaking of which, the reason that I forgave it for all its plot holes was because of the ending that I won't spoil, because I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that 2011, as actually, at least now, as we're talking in the middle of March, it is turning out to be a really neat year for sort of speculative, science fiction-y, Twilight Zone kind of things. They had The Adjustment Bureau, which I liked, and this one's kind of a Twilight Zone-y kind of thing. You got Source Code coming up, which is a fantastic movie. So it has these... We've got some really neat sort of sci-fi marathon movies that I kind of think are cool.
Yeah, I've been on the edge of my seat. I'm into it. Yeah.
So I'm going to say Limitless kind of rocks as well.
I definitely say rocks for this
rocks
one.
All right. Well, we will be back.
Hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. We have talked about Limitless, The Lincoln Lawyer, and Paul. Let's talk about the other movie. It's a small movie. I just want to give a little bit of a shout out to it. It's called Bereavement.
It sounds sad, is it?
Yeah, you know what I say? It sounds like something that would be, given the Truly Moving Picture Award from Heartland Films. That's the kind of nickname. It's not. here's the trailer. A child is kidnapped by a psychopath, only to become his prodigy.
What is that place?
That's the Sutter plant. It's been closed for years.
I saw someone there yesterday while I was jogging. A boy.
A boy.
She never came home last night.
I'm gonna go find her.
Sutter!
If they have no feelings, they can't know fear. But if they can't know fear, why do they run?
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, this one's... It's apparently a sequel to Malevolence. Did you see Malevolence? I didn't.
Wow. No, I got confused for a second thinking you were talking about the Disney villain, Maleficent.
Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty?
These are very, like, these people definitely have a thesaurus naming these films.
Yeah, they're going to actually, Simulacrum, the movie.
And then they're going to make, like, a musical called Mellifluous. I don't know.
They're just going to take some, like, they'll be like, Psoriasis, the movie.
Truncated, part two.
It would have to be part two.
I know, right? Because there's so many questions from Truncated, part one.
Exactly. Bereavements. It's an okay movie. It's a thriller. Obviously, it's a horror movie. It does one of those things where it tries to do both the horror movie and then just sort of like the average person character study.
Oh, the one of those.
Yeah, for like the people who eventually become the victims, and it's okay. I mean, that I'm not into because it sort of takes itself too seriously. If you're a gore hound and you like horror films and you like the slasher movies and with a dash of torture porn, you might enjoy this. What's really interesting about the movie, though, is the star, who is she?
Alexandra Daddario?
Yes, Alexandra Daddario. Now she was in the Hall Percy Pass. Jackson. And she was in Hall Pass. Let's just say I can't say I'm wild about her as an actor. She has beautiful blue eyes, but she has the biggest set of tits I have ever seen in a movie.
Really?
Oh my god! And like the last half of the movie, she's running around in just a white tank top with no bra.
Oh, Christ. And
I mean, like nipping. I mean, she's like knocking things over with them practically.
That's awesome.
And the best part is she's just like, she's not a bad actor, but she's like acting her heart out. And that's not why we're watching.
That's interesting. That's the comment that reminds me of Paranormal Activity.
Mm-hmm.
The girl that plays Katie, that was so many guys comment about that movie. They were like, yeah, it was pretty scary, but check out those knockers.
Yeah.
But gazungas. Woo woo. Hamina hamina.
Well, what's wrong with boobs? What's wrong with a little bit of boobs in a movie?
Oh, no, I'm all for it. I mean, boobs are awesome. I've got a couple, and I think they're great.
I've got them stashed away somewhere.
I have them in my top drawer and my junk drawer, and I pull them out for parties. And
really? I need to go to a party that you're at sometime.
Yeah, no, they help me get whatever I want. I could only imagine the power that comes from having huge boobs, because I am not like a particularly well-endowed woman.
Yeah.
So I always am kind of in awe of big boobs. Like, I wonder what life would be like.
I don't even have man boobs. I'm like one of those A-cup ladies who get, well, I'm not a lady, but I a woman.
Are we like calling ourselves sisters now? Is that
wow.
Like...
But no, were I a woman.
Matthew McConaughey.
Hey. Now, if I gain weight and not in that area.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't even have a man boobs to splash around.
You don't want those though. That's good that you don't have
That's
them.
True. That's true.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's not exactly a complaint.
Moobs are a drag.
Yeah.
But no, but I mean, you know, I actually have been trying to figure out exactly how much I can show off on CNN. I continue to test the limits until somebody stops me.
Go way too far and then pull back.
You know what I want to do? I want
just come and show up with pasties one day,
dude.
Just,
that'd be amazing. Okay? Well, what I kind of want to do is show up in like a strapless top and just pull it like way low, and just have them film me like pretty tight, so it just looks like I'm the naked girl giving movie reviews. Because I really feel like I would get like an instant, you know, movie contract or whatever the hell they give out these days.
I'd watch it.
Woo! I'm hoping that's like, you know, fingers crossed. You know what I noticed about this movie, by the way? Michael Biehn, I don't know how to say his last
Michael
name.
Biehn. Michael
is it?
Biehn.
Yes. He's also in Take Me Home Tonight.
He is. And you know what's funny about Take Me Home Tonight? Because the movie takes place in 1988. And I think his career was actually over by that time in real time.
Oh, no. How sad.
I know.
He was really nice. He was really nice at the premiere.
He seems like a really cool guy, but it's like he only works in James Cameron's movies.
Right. He was wearing like a one of those Kangol caps, like a newsboy cap. And I was like, you know, those like, you know, just the newsboy. And
the
I was like,
big fluffy Irishman hats.
Well, I don't think we're talking about the same thing, but you
imagine.
Was
he in like knickers and going, extra, read all about
it. He might as well have been, except they were designer jeans and a button down. It was fine, but it's still like I felt like that was a look that his stylist should have left on the shelf. I was sad for him because I was like, no, honey, you're a really good looking man and you're a solid actor, but that outfit is like 20 years too young for you.
That's awesome.
Yikes. And then I felt like an asshole because all I do at a fucking premiere party is eat Twinkies by Wolfgang Puck and judge the actors. Like, what a jerk.
I know, isn't it? Well, you know what's so funny is because as an entertainment journalist, you're not... Oh, there's some toy going off in the background. My son's running through the magical studio in the sky, so...
How cute! Da-da-da!
As a journalist, as a film journalist, you're given the opportunity to like interview people and do cool things, but you're also given a lot of free food. and you're not paid very well. No, in anything, really. You're never really paid well as a journalist. And so you take your opportunity to eat your food. And I was at Comic-Con once and I was interviewing. They had like a breakfast for the movie Death Sentence. And they had like
was it like gruel?
Well, no, I mean, it was like the most fantastic breakfast I've ever had. I mean, they had like the guy making omelets and they had cookies and they had like homemade baked things. And it was just fantastic.
Were
and,
they
like,
serving
they had
Pruno?
Well, it was weird because we were sitting at these little tables and they were the tiniest tables in the universe.
Aw.
And it was this tiny table with all these big fat journalists. And then you had like James Wan and Garrett Hedlund coming around and just sort of working the room and sitting down and talking with people, and you could pull out a tape recorder or whatever.
Oh.
But it's like you're trying to stuff your face while you're talking to James Wan about his movie. It's the most bizarre thing.
That's amazing. I could imagine. I mean, that, however, as a lady, this is why I really, speaking of boobs, this is why I really enjoy being a chick doing this.
Yes.
Because I could imagine really working like a cruller or something, just like really.
Just like licking. I'm like, oh, it's, oh, look, this Long John just, oh, cream. Aww.
Exactly. It's like, oh, this Boston cream donut. It's so delicious, don't you think? Oh, oh, it's amazing. I'm in room 427. You want to, that's what I thought. See, you know, like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What is this job if you're not going to get laid?
I need to go take care of something really right now.
How do I always end up talking about this on your show? I'm so sorry.
It's amazing.
I apologize officially to your wife. I'm so.
Anyways, bereavement.
Oh, yeah, right. What the hell is this movie? Is it good?
It's okay. I mean, I'm going to give it a kind of sucks because it just didn't quite hit the mark for me. But like I said, if you're into horror movies and that kind of thing, you might want to check it out now. And it's in limited release. I think it's like in Birmingham, Alabama right now.
Oh, right. That Birmingham I don't know City why. Center.
Yeah.
The metropolis known as.
Speaking of horrible things.
Oh, I was like horror. Yes.
Yes. Horror. Horror or horror movies. I like both.
Yeah.
Anyway, what? Okay, it's going to start. Just go watch your show. Wow, my son is now just... He is infiltrating the magical studio in the sky.
Aww.
He's not happy with the commercials. So
who is? He's a smart kid.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about... I have an obsession.
Ooh, right tell now. Me more.
It's an unhealthy obsession.
Yeah, that's even better when it's unhealthy.
It's always awesome when it's unhealthy. With Rebecca Black's music video Friday. And when I say unhealthy, it has nothing to do perverse-wise.
Sure, it doesn't.
Because while she's an attractive girl, she's like 13. So, I mean, and I get that. And so it's like, there's nothing. I'm just obsessed with the song. Which, if you don't know what it is, it's this music video that went live a week ago. And as of time of recording this, which we're recording this on St. Patrick's Day, it's at like something like 12 million views on YouTube. And my theory is there's only about 250,000 people have actually seen it. It's just they watch it like 50 times.
Right. Yes. Well, because teens, I hear, have a lot of time on their hands and they enjoy this thing called the YouTubes.
The YouTubes. Now, if you have not seen Rebecca Black's Friday video, it is the most bizarrely addictive song I've ever seen or ever listened to.
It's I don't know that it's addictive. I kind of felt torn while I was watching it because it was simultaneously like kind of catchy, but I was also like fearing for our society as a whole.
Well, what's so great about it is if you it's one of those things that I showed it to my wife and you watch it once and you're just like, meh. You know, that's kind of your reaction. That was my reaction. I'm like, well, okay, it's kind of stupid, but it's a stupid pop song. And then if you watch it again and again and again, you start picking up on these bizarre nuances of it. Like, for example, the lyrics.
Are you saying that the Rebecca Black video for Friday is akin to a Stanley Kubrick picture?
It is. It's like Shakespeare. It works on many levels.
Oh, dear.
Well, but like she has this whole thing where she goes, it's her going to go through a normal day and then she gets to a bus stop. The big dilemma she has is she's like, well, she gets to the bus stop. She's like, oh, there's my friends. And it's like this moment from The Room where she's like, you know, in The Room where he's like, oh, this is so terrible. Oh, hi, how are you? And he just kind of just turns his head and it goes to a different personality. That's what she does. She's like, I'm waiting at the bus stop. I see my friends in a car and they pull up and there's like 12-year-olds driving this like sports car. And she's like... She says, kicking in the front seat, sitting in the back seat. And then she like lays down this massive dilemma. Gotta make my mind up. Which seat do I choose?
Yeah. I mean, that's a really important issue. It's like, it's like Egypt, who cares? Charlie Sheen, doesn't matter. Like homelessness, world.
Earthquakes, tsunamis. No.
Fucking earthquakes everywhere. Doesn't matter. Where am I going to sit in this convertible where I'm going to get maximum jam time?
What's so funny about it is there's no room in the front seat. So, I mean, unless she's going to sit on the emergency brake, which, I mean, hey, if you're into that sort of thing.
I don't know, but, dude. Rebecca Black looks like she could party.
Yeah.
She has DSL, dude.
So she gets in the back seat. Then later on, they like fast forward and she's on the freeway. And then she runs that dilemma again. She's like kicking the front seat, sitting in the back seat. Which seat do I choose? She's already in the back seat.
My favorite part of the video is like, well, also then a black guy shows up.
Yes.
And it's Usher 2.0. Yeah, that's awesome, right?
The best part is at the end he does a little booty dance.
He does. He totally does. And it's like there's this awesome sequence with like this really poorly photoshopped notepad.
Yes.
That I love. It's like it's just telling you like what days of the week. And then at one point, like here's me again fearing for our culture.
Yeah.
Because at one point it just says, Friday, we so excited.
We. She turns into a Vietnamese prostitute.
We so excited. Like,
we so excited. That's a long time.
It's just like, Daddy Happy Shiny $5 now. It's like, it's just crazy. We go to place, well, yeah, my babies. Like, that's sort of what, yeah, I feel like saying to Rebecca Black or whatever her name is.
We so excited. We so excited. And then she goes and she says, and like the whole thing is like, yesterday was Thursday. Today it is Friday. I mean, she just, and you're right. She just, then she's like, tomorrow will be Saturday and Sunday comes afterwards. And I'm,
yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. It's like, is this like a baby Einstein video?
This is what's so crazy about this movie, or this video. I actually started doing research, and it's done by a group called Arc Music Factory. And that's probably the most accurately named thing, because it is, in fact, a factory. Treats things like widgets. There's no artistic involvement at all. There's no even, like, career choice or talent. It's what it is. It's akin to a vanity press. I don't even know if they even have these nowadays. But back when, like, book publishing was... You know, now anyone can get a blog, but if you wanted to publish something, you had to go get a book. And if you didn't write a book that somebody cared to publish, you could then go and spend thousands of dollars and basically pay a production company or a publisher to publish your book for you. And you pay for the printing, and you pay for the paper, and you pay for the editors. I actually used to work for a vanity press. And, oh God, who wouldn't believe some of the crap I had to read?
Oof.
This is basically a modern version of that, where parents will pay thousands and thousands of dollars to... And then what this company does, Arc will write the song for you. They'll record it with you. They will produce your music video, and they'll put it up on YouTube.
Wow. I would love to have sat in on that, like, on the brainstorming session for the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, hey, you guys, last week we did counting from 1 to 10. Let's do the days of the week this time.
Well, this is what's so funny. Is that's why you're like, well, they're getting really ripped off, because these people are writing the music. And what are they? What should we do? Well, let's just throw some facts out at you. You're like, yesterday was Thursday. Knives are sharp.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, next week it's going to be about, like, animals. It'll be like, giraffes have long necks. We so excited. Or like,
well, what's funny is I went to their site. I started watching. If you go to their YouTube page, they have other, like, 12-year-old girls doing these.
Uh-oh. And
the thing is, this is what makes the Rebecca Black video so special, is it actually borderlines on catchy. I mean, it's an earworm. You will continue to see. I watched, like, must have watched 5 videos this morning. I can't remember any of the songs. But that Rebecca Black song is in my head. So they kind of stumbled onto something there.
Oh, interesting.
But, like, these other movies, like, one of them is called My Jeans. And the entire, swear to God, the entire song is about this girl who went to the mall, saw a pair of jeans, didn't buy them, and then she's looking through a magazine and she sees, like, Hannah Montana, who's not a real person, by the way, because she mentions Hannah Montana, and Ashley Tisdale and Kiki Palmer are wearing the jeans. And so it's the whole thing is her to get back to the store to buy her jeans that the celebrities are wearing.
Wow. That's what the song's
about. And then there's another one by, and this girl's like 9 or 11. I mean, she's, like, really young.
We so it's excited.
Yes, it's called No Ordinary Pop Star,
and she plays, yeah, right.
She plays a really famous girl who is stalked by paparazzi and complaining about how hard it is to be famous. Of course, the girl's not famous, trying to be famous by singing about how terrible it is to be famous.
That's so postmodern. My head just exploded again, Kevin Carr.
And Usher 2.0 is in, like, all of them, because he helped make the company. He's one of the founding members of the company. He goes by the rap name Peto, P-E-T-O, or Peta, out of Peta, or something
P-A-T-O?
Like that. Yeah, something like
Peto?
That.
Peto?
Yeah, he shows up in all the videos doing the same thing, just rapping about. And it's like, it's the creepiest thing, because he's like 40, and he's like, yeah, Rebecca Black in the front seat.
And yeah, like, I found it really, like, particularly incongruous that he was singing. I was like, oh, okay, it's a cute little girl with black hair, and she's obviously very young. Whoa, who is this black guy in a convertible? There's whatever happened to segregation. It makes me like,
oh my God.
In this case, I'm a fan of it. Get that guy out of there. That's creepy as hell.
You're like, yeah, I finally found the argument.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell is if like if she, you know, if she's, what is she, Armenian? What is she? Let's get somebody. Let's keep them with their own kind, for God's sake.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
This took a turn, didn't it? You're terrified of me now.
I am now terrified of you. It makes me feel a lot better about that Boots the Monkey comment.
Let's talk about the song Butterflies. That should be less politically charged.
Okay.
Hey, the Japs, huh? Pearl Harbor, wow. Bitches.
Are we done talking about Friday? Let's talk about box office. Now you've turned me off of the song. I can't watch it anymore.
Then my work here is done.
Box office, Battle LA won.
Did you like it?
I thought it was okay. Did you? I mean, it wasn't as. Let's just put it this way: the trailers made it look better than it was.
But it was still pretty good. I think, well, Dave White, my co-critic at movies.com, agrees with you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I loved it. Like, I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
So it was more
military than military sci-fi.
Right. And I was really surprised. Now, I heard someone give the short summary that it is less District 9 and more military infomercial.
Okay.
And I was like, well, yeah, because I kind of wanted to join the Marines afterwards. So I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, it was cool. I mean, I know a lot of people complain about the herky-jerky camera, and I don't mind that in a battle sequence. I said this last week. I'm like, but when there's two people sitting across from the desk, why are you moving?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Michael J. Fox was the cinematographer.
Oh, see, now I don't feel so bad about my horrible things that I say. Do you think that any of these movies this week will beat it?
I think so, because generally you're going to have a movie that's going to drop 40-50%, and that puts it below 20. I think you're going to see this horse race of everything between 15 and 20. And it's going to be like Paul will do a decent. I think Paul will make more than 20.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I feel like Paul is going to, I think a lot, like Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and Greg Mottola have like a real following.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that the nerds are going to come out in force. Now, here's what I'm scared of. I know that they've done a lot
clowns.
Of... Oh. Well, okay, yes. Okay.
Scared of clowns.
Here's another thing I'm scared of.
Okay.
Black guys. No.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
Get that Usher
2.0
guy coming out of my face.
No, I love him. I really want to love him. What I'm scared of is that they've done a ton of Paul screenings.
You know, that's, I think, that impacted...
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine, I think it impacted. I think it also impacted Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'm afraid that Paul is really not going to do that well, but
I think it'll do okay. I think at the very least Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and Seth Rogen have enough of that sort of like mainstream knowledge and appeal that it'll do decent enough.
Right.
I think that's what's going to win. But again, it's like all aliens. It's all sci-fi kind of things.
Right.
Lincoln Lawyer, I just don't see the Lincoln Lawyer charging up an audience.
No, I don't. I think Lincoln Lawyer will probably get like some good reviews from the critics, and then you know, but mostly will be ignored. But Limitless, I think, has the ability to have word of mouth and kind of stick around for a while. I think.
Yeah, which would be actually pretty amazing because Bradley Cooper really doesn't carry the movies. Everyone said with The Hangover, they're like, oh, Bradley. It was a movie of unknowns.
Right.
That did incredibly well, and so even though Bradley Cooper can hang his hat on that, he's not. You know, it's not like the level of like what Tom Cruise or Mel Gibson were in like the 80s and 90s.
Right. True.
So I have to go all the way back there to find somebody who just carries a movie now.
It's tough these days.
Yeah. Let's talk.
Running out of movie stars.
I know. That's because they keep dying off and doing stupid things on Twitter. Okay, let's talk about it. We got a listener voicemail here.
Yay, listeners!
Yay! We actually have somebody who's responding. This is from our good friend Thomas from Seattle.
Yay, Tom! Yay, Seattle!
Yay, Thomas! So he has a question, and even though you're not Neil, you can answer it with us.
Great. So every time he says Neil, I'm going to pretend he's saying my name in a really deep, sultry voice.
That's true. Sure, that works.
In my head, that's how it goes.
Maybe I'll just like I'll digitally put my name, Gray, instead of where it says Neil, Gray.
Hi, Kevin. This is Thomas from Seattle. Also, hi.
Gray.
Hey, I just wanted to ask a question. Have y'all ever watched a movie where y'all saw an actor that, you know, you maybe weren't that familiar with, but you thought, like, hey, this guy or this lady's really good, and, you know, I bet that they're going to be kind of bigger in the future, you know, if people kind of... And I was just thinking, like, a recent example for me was I saw SWAT, I guess, in 2003. And, you know, they were hyping Colin Farrell and Samuel L. Jackson. Of course, they were the stars of the movie. But I was watching the movie, and I was just thinking, who is this guy, Jeremy Renner? He's actually really good as a bad guy. And, you know, I don't think I'd seen any movies of his. And then I was like, well, you know, I hope somebody gives him a chance. And, you know, I would see him here and there after that, but, you know, always in small roles. And then all of a sudden, The Hurt Locker and The Town, and he's been nominated for the Oscar twice in 2 years. And so I feel kind of a little bit good. I mean, like, oh, yeah, I actually spotted somebody who was actually good. So I was wondering if y'all ever had any instances where you just kind of noticed somebody maybe a little bit before the industry did. And if you could share those examples, Kevin and
Gray. So, anyways, did you ever recognize an actor as being great before they became famous?
I am very proud to say that although this, I'm sure that he was more famous across the pond. I was a huge fan of Clive Owen.
Oh.
Before he became famous, because he did a movie called Croupier.
Yes.
And that movie, I was really blown away by that. And so I was like, this guy is a guy. It was in all the way back in like 98, I think.
It was a while ago. I barely remember, but yeah, it was a while ago.
And that was when I was like, wow, I definitely want this limey bastard to lick my face. So.
Wow, you're into face licking.
Well, it's like a thing with me.
Okay. Now, is it a one-way thing, or does it go both ways?
No, you know, I feel like face licking is a two-way activity. You know, it's like like people, I lick their face, or I want someone to lick my face. It's more like
where
I usually want
on the face.
Well, it depends cheek? On how it depends on how intimate the gesture is.
Okay.
Because
like when you meet someone's parents for the first time.
That's definitely across the lips and up the nose.
Oh, yes.
But if it's just like a friendly thing, then it's cheek.
Okay.
If you want to sort of establish dominance over someone, then it's forehead.
Mm. Okay. Do you have to climb on top of them? Well, you're a tall lady.
Though. I am tall. I rarely have to climb on anything.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can take that wherever you want to.
I'm making notes here.
Yeah, thank you. Good. Because the next time that I'm on, I expect you to repeat all this back to me.
I'm so licking your face next time I see you, so
yes!
Don't wear any makeup.
I love it. I love that, like, weird spit smell that, you know, people leave. Mm. It's just...
Does it bother you if they, like, eaten garlic first before they do any face licking?
No, like, because, I mean, face licking is already, like, really weird and, you know, just to start with. And so the weirder the smell, the better. I mean, that just, like, completes it.
So if somebody eats, like, curry and a baby diaper, then lick your face?
Wow.
That's, like, the greatest thing ever.
It kind of would be in, like, a weird masochistic way.
You'd be like, this has never happened to me before. It's a unique experience. Now, the other question I have, you stay away from the nose because it gets kind of greasy.
I feel like that's one of life's treasures is, you know, just a little bit of sebum oil.
Mm,
you know? Mm. Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's, you know, it's the way that we get close to each other.
What were we talking about?
Oh,
yes,
know.
Somebody's face you licked when you knew that they were going to be famous. Who was it again?
Clive Owen.
So this was way back before he became known.
And he was working in like the late 80s for sure. He definitely wasn't in anything that came overseas until around the 90s. And Croupier really impressed me. And now he's famous and I see him everywhere, including here in Los Angeles, where I get to lose my mind in person. Oh.
And lose your spit on his face.
God, you better believe it. He doesn't have security. Trust me, I've checked.
Ooh, awesome. Well, a famous one from the show would be Gerard Butler. Neil's mom loves Gerard Butler. And before he ever became famous for doing movies like 300, or even before he did Phantom of the Opera, she was a huge fan. So Neil's mom always recognized Gerard Butler as a star.
She's smart.
I will say, yes, yes. I'm going to throw out a weird one for you, is Dylan Baker. Not that he's like a huge name, but he's very recognizable now. You know who Dylan Baker is, don't you?
Which one is he?
He was the teacher in the Spider-Man movies. He was in the movie Happiness. He was the child molester in Happiness.
Oh,
he
God, was... that guy.
Yeah.
And the child molester, like, that's all you had to say.
And child molester, you're like, oh, that child molester. Okay. he did a lot of movies. And back in the 80s, he was in the movie Plane, Trains, and Automobiles. When they were getting in the pickup truck, and he was talking about his wife. He's like, well, no, because she was pregnant and she was like lifting their bags. He's like, did she need help? He's like, no, she doesn't need no help. Her first baby came out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing. And he like spits out tobacco and wipes his hand and goes to shake Steve Martin's hand.
That's right.
Do you remember this scene? That's Dylan Baker, man.
Wow.
He's awesome.
He's been in a million things by now. He's been in like 100 movies.
I think 100 million movies.
Yeah. And well, he does so much TV and movies. It's awesome. He
is great.
But yet, all you have to say, child molester.
Child molester from Happiness. Then I will give you a...
He played a child molester again in Trick or Treat.
He always plays a child. He's a great child molester. I mean, not personally. I don't know. Do they give awards? Child molester of the year. You did a great job. This guy, real sloppy.
He's your go-to.
Yeah.
It's like you need a child molester, you call good old DB.
Because he's sort of that creepiness, but he can be very normal. I'm going to throw out another one but it's an anti-answer. It's the opposite. It's somebody that I saw early on, and I'm like, I fucking hate this guy, and he became famous, and I still hate him. Tracy Morgan.
Really?
Hate Tracy Morgan. And I saw him in...
Racist again. When he was...
Yeah, well, yeah, he's a great guy, but yeah, it's the whole, no.
Don't even bother. No,
he was in Saturday Night Live, like, yes, a long time ago when he was fat.
Yes.
And I just watched it. I'm like, this guy is so bad, so awful. And then he kind of disappeared and he lost weight. And apparently no one wanted the fat Tracy Morgan. But boy, you put the skinny Tracy Morgan on there and suddenly he's hilarious to a lot of people.
Well, I don't know. I never liked him on Saturday Night Live. However, I love him on 30 Rock.
Oh, okay.
And I don't like the reason like that I love him on 30 Rock is because their approach on that show to writing a lot of the characters was to take people's a lot of elements of their real life personalities. and so they have like, it sort of, it makes the characters more true to the actors performing them.
Yes.
And that's why I love Tracy Morgan, because I love imagining that he's just that batshit insane.
He is. Apparently he is. I have heard he's kind of nuts, I've heard.
I love that. I love imagining that. And it's just like how clueless he is and how much of a super unconcerned star he is. Like from, I think it was like the pilot episode when Liz is talking to him in a strip club and she says something random about Chicago and he just turns, she's complaining about unrest at the studio and she says the word Chicago and he just goes, I was in Scottie Pippen's wedding. And to me, I was like, oh my God, like that's a conversation with a star right there.
I've had conversations with people like that where you could sit there and be like, oh my gosh, my house just burned down. I lit a fire last night.
Right, exactly.
In my living room. I don't even have a fireplace. And you're just like, what? That was my Tracy Morgan impression. It was terrible.
It sounded really white.
I should pull out my Cher impression because going back to the Rebecca Black, I would love to see Cher do a cover of that.
Oh,
song.
Wow.
Like, wish it do I choose.
That actually sounded more like Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan doing Cher. Kick it in the front seat.
You're delightful.
That's sort of like, I don't know, it's maybe a Cher that's possessed by a demon.
Jesus.
All right, let's move on. Let's do our Fat Guy 5. These are 5 awesome aliens, and it has nothing to do with Rebecca Black.
Ha! She does look foreign, though.
She looks like she's going to be a very beautiful woman.
Yes, like one that I'm totally gel of, because she has like this gorgeous dark skin and dark hair and totally opposite me.
And that's the other thing that's different from her and the other people that are on that on that talent slate is you look at her, she looks like she could be a pop star. Everyone else looks like they could be the not that attractive cheerleader at your high school.
Or as the Jersey high. Shore people refer to it, the grenade.
The grenade. Is that what that's called?
Well, what? Yeah, it's like
I don't watch Jersey Shore.
It's like when there's a super hot girl,
mm-hmm.
and she has a less attractive friend. The guys will switch off, taking the less attractive friend, referring to her as the grenade, and saying as though it was a war metaphor, like, I'm going to throw myself on the grenade for the good of my boys.
Yeah, I don't think that actually happens. This is actually what happens, is you go after this is the Jersey Shore people, because they're so stupid, they don't even know why they're doing this. Really what you do is, if there's a gorgeous girl with a less attractive friend, you throw all the attention on the less attractive friend, and the gorgeous girl is so fucking jealous of that. And that she will then go after the person. That's actually why they do it.
Wow. Are you telling me that the Jersey Shore men are dishonest? Because they told me that that's what a grenade was, and if they were lying, I am going to steal their hair gel and never give it back to them.
You should. You should bury them in hair gel and see if they could come out.
Wow. That's actually...
And then, like,
I'm having a lot of fun picturing that as a visual.
Be sure to, like, convince him it's a new reality show, and you're going to be Houdini. Drop him in the click. Oh, he didn't make it out.
Actually, you know what would be awesome is if you tell him it's hair gel and it's, like, a stunt for Depp or something, but it really, it's just gelatin, and they can never get out of it.
And then they could then put him in a freezer?
Yeah.
And they could be like the stapler in Law in The Office.
And then they end up at like the MoMA in New York.
They'd be like early. They'd be like a mosquito trapped in amber. And like 65 million years, scientists will extract their DNA and genetically, and these dinosaur scientists will genetically engineer Jersey Shore.
And then people. All of a sudden, when the amusement park is built around them, there'll be like a huge Snooki chasing Jeff Goldblum.
It'll be called Jurassic Shore. That would be awesome.
This is incredible. Oh no.
Anyways, five awesome aliens. That is our Fat Guy Five. The first one is Alien from the Alien movies. Actually, the original Alien, and the ones in Aliens were cool. Then they like put a dog in the third movie, and then that ridiculous human alien hybrid with man boobs.
Moobs, yep.
In the fourth one, yeah. But
I kind of like Alien. But that one had sad eyes. I like that one.
H.R. Giger. That was recently ripped off by the TV show V.
Oh.
Yeah, they pretty much just totally ripped off that alien.
Huh. Well, that was, I felt empathetic towards that one.
Ah.
But yeah, it definitely was the gay alien for sure.
Yes.
Much love to all my homo friends. Love you.
You can do the next one.
Oh, this one is very close to my heart. E.T., the original extraterrestrial.
Yes.
When I was a child, I did an exquisite E.T. face.
Oh.
And I also, at Thanksgiving...
Did your neck get really long? And
yeah, like I would crane my head up like really high, and then I would just like stretch my lips across my face.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Thanksgiving, my mom would put olives, black olives, on the table like long before the food made it out there. And I would sneak in and I would put all the olives on my fingers.
Did you wash your hands before you do this?
Absolutely not.
Pick your nose, stick your finger in the olive.
Definitely. Yeah. Dirty, dirty hands. And I would put all the olives on my fingers. And then like a retard, I would go into the kitchen where my mom was and I would do E.T. face. And she would not only bust me for ruining her table, but then she would also yell at me for doing a horrible impression.
Well, she's like, if you're going to do impressions, it better be a good one. We're crying out loud. You can do Howard Cosell. Come on, give it a shot.
She's very strict. We don't settle for less in the Drake household.
You know, you're kind of like my oldest son, who is not a master criminal, because he's the kind of person that would do, and he doesn't do the stuff with the olives, but he would do something like that and then be like, ta-da. And you're just like, what are you doing?
Like he wants credit.
Yeah. He'd be the murderer who would go to the funeral of his victims.
That's awesome.
Anyway, all right. Next one is Critters from the old '80s movies, Critters and Critters 2.
Oh, so scary.
Not just the Critters, but in the second movie, one of the alien bounty hunters turns into a Playboy centerfold with big tits.
Yep, back to the boobs.
Back to the boobs. That's all I'm saying. Just any alien that can turn into a naked woman is awesome.
Pretty much. I mean, Critters scared the hell out of me when I was little. I was so unreasonably afraid of them. Them and Gremlins. Ah!
Gremlins were awesome. The Mogwai.
The little Gizmo was just a saving grace for me. I had a little Gizmo gum dispenser.
I have a little Gizmo at home, too.
Hey-o!
Okay. I went there.
Well, yeah, I kind of opened us up for that, I think.
You opened yourself up for the Gizmo?
Well, you know. That's just how Grey Drake rolls.
Woo-hoo.
On CNN, naked. What?
What? You can do the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Because you felt very strongly about these next two.
Yes, very strongly about from the legendary Star Wars, Mr. Yoda.
Mr. Yoda. That's Dr. Yoda. He did not go to 4 years of medical school to be called Mr. Thank you.
Please excuse me, Yoda. Please do not kick my ass like you did in the first three movies of the Star Wars movies. When he starts wailing on people, was that episode three?
It's episode two.
Is it? Yeah, that was amazing. And I used to live near Grauman's Chinese Theater where they have like all the characters out in front.
Yeah.
And Yoda one day was sitting on the ground, just chilling. And
what, did they get like a dwarf to play him? Or was it like a 30-year-old fat guy as Yoda?
No, it was a tiny, tiny person. Okay. And so I was actually going to a movie nearby, and I walked past Yoda going home. And then I walked past him going to the movies, and I forgot my ticket, so I ran past him again.
Yeah.
And he just looked up at me, and he went, "Forget something you did."
And then you punted him across the street.
Well, yeah, and I laughed and kept running. And then as I was running back to the theater, I saw him take a deep breath, and I just went, "Can it, Yoda?" and kept running.
That's it. And did you do it in like a Brooklyn accent? That's enough there, Yoda.
Exactly, yeah.
That was not a Brooklyn
accent. Little bit of Western thrown in there. Little bit of...
No idea.
Little cowboy.
That was my Cher impression, apparently.
You're Cher Morgan.
That's right. Cher Morgan. You know, every time I talk to you, you always have some story about somebody you're passing by in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like, there's so many good times are had in Hollywood, particularly in front of that theater, because it's like the center of the universe for fucking weirdos. Like, it's so crazy.
You know, I have this picture that there's some guy who dresses like a pirate and walks around drunk all the time. I happened to just stumble by it, and then people thought he was like Captain Jack Sparrow, and he just stayed there. He's like, "I don't know what people are talking about."
He's like, "I don't know. People just keep taking pictures and handing me money."
Yeah.
I'm just going to stick around.
And it was just, that's just how he rolls normally.
Have I told you about the time that Superman and Batman got in a fight over Marilyn Monroe, right?
Is this a real story? I mean, is this like in a movie, or is this a joke?
No. It's literally
and then
a
Jewish man, a black guy, and a Jew walked
so
into
a
bar.
I can't even finish it. So a priest, a rabbi. No, okay. Superman took a tourist camera and took a photo at Marilyn Monroe's skirt.
Oh, well, who wouldn't?
Well, right. So seriously, she freaked out and broke character and was screaming like an insane person. And Batman comes up.
that's just an awesome segue anyway.
I know, right? And so Batman...
Wait, was this Dark Knight Batman, or was this like Adam West, gray tights Batman?
No, it was Dark Knight Batman.
Okay.
And so he was like, "Hey, Superman, that was super uncool." Like, that's like...
Did he actually use that term, super
uncool? Oh, yeah. Like, he was like, "The not cool, that is, you shouldn't have done that." And Superman was like, he's not the usual Superman that's there who is like truly all about justice in the American way. He was a different, like, low rent Superman. And they get in a fight.
The giant pow and Kazam and splat words come flying out when they hit each other?
Practically. And all of the tourists standing around were half disturbed and half excited because they were seeing like their nerd dreams lived out before them. And so people don't know, like it keeps escalating, and people don't know like whether or not it's like an act or if they should actually call somebody. And it was around,
I mean, it could be part of the show. It could be just Superman had a bad day and came home from the bars.
Easily. And so it was Oscar time, so there are a whole bunch of rent-a-cops around the stands that they have set up on Hollywood Boulevard. And so finally a rent-a-cop like saunters over and he's like, "Hey, you guys, you have to chill out, or like I'm gonna have to call somebody." And
call the real police.
So, yeah. And so as he's trying to reason with Batman and Superman while Marilyn Monroe is screaming her head off, SpongeBob SquarePants shows up. And he is so...
I wish you had this on video.
It's incredible. Like, he's so infinitely disturbed that he starts hugging all the tourists, telling them it's going to be okay.
SpongeBob did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's
did he like, just like lift wallets off all these people in the process?
And people are kind of like, "Get the fuck off me! Like, I don't want to hug. Like, who are you? Like, I don't want to touch your dirty your leg SpongeBob in the foam." Like, so.
Somehow he only hugged the girls with big boobs.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know why. But anyway, so finally, like, the rent-a-cop convinces everybody to chill out, but nobody would leave. Like, everybody was hanging around, and that was finally the end of the story. And it went on for so long that it attracted all the attention of everyone in the surrounding areas, and I just so happened to be there waiting for a friend of mine who was a projectionist at the Chinese. So I'm just standing there with my mouth like on the ground. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And they actually, all of Jimmy Kimmel's people who were across the street were out as well, and he talked about it on the show that night because it was quite like the gossip around town.
That's awesome.
I love this city. End of story.
That's amazing. And that goes into the last mention on our, the last person on our list. Superman is an awesome alien.
Yes. He's an awesome fact. Even though he sometimes is a dick and takes pictures of Marilyn Monroe's skirt.
You know what? We all have bad days.
We so excited.
We so excited. My favorite, I got one little Superman thing to tell. My favorite cartoon ever of drawing of Superman was in a Hustler magazine.
Hello.
Yes. And all it was Superman. It was a completely naked guy with a huge penis, and it's like wet, you know, so it's recently been ejected, we'll say. And there's a Superman costume hanging on the coat hanger, and there's a giant hole in the ceiling, and he's looking up and he goes, "Lois."
Which reminds me of the Sugar Hill Gang song. Where it's like where he starts out talking to Lois Lane, and he's like, "Your boyfriend Superman he's a total wuss, but I can bust you up with my super sperm," he says.
Wow, I don't know. Is that a good pickup line? You walk in and say, "Yo, babe, I can bust you up with my super sperm."
It
depends. Hop on the horse and give it a rattle.
It depends on if you're into it.
I guess so.
Because I mean,
really wanna, is that the kind of girl you want to bring home to mother?
No, absolutely really not. But it is the kind of girl that you want to bang, am I right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I'd feel bad if, like, my super sperm just... If it wasn't all that super. She'd be like, "That wasn't super! Smack!"
She's judging. Like, I take notes on sperm. I have, like, a book full of...
Wow.
Yeah.
Full of sperm.
Yeah, and wonderful. Samples in my fridge.
What are some honorable mentions on this list?
The honorable mentions come from movies retarded cousin television.
Yes.
And they are Alf.
Yes.
The cat eating wonder.
What was Melnack? Wasn't that the name of this planet he was from?
Oh, I can't remember. I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
And the other one that I was really excited about was Mork.
Mork from
Mork and Mindy.
Ork. No, from Ork.
Yeah. Oh, whoops. Yeah, Ork. Whatever.
Yeah, and
with the suspenders.
He had sex apparently with Mindy, shot an egg out of his belly button, and grew into Jonathan Winters. Amazing.
Mind blown. Third time. One show.
And the Supreme Leader of Ork, do you remember what his name was? Did you ever watch the show?
I did, but I don't remember it very well because I have a terrible memory.
Because they age in reverse. So like Jonathan, that's why Jonathan Winters came out of the egg, because he was the baby, Murph.
Ha!
And the Supreme Leader was like a 12-year-old kid named...
That makes perfect sense.
That was his name. So, on that note, We should really go to a break.
We are back at Fat Guys at the Movies for the world famous DVD roundup.
Yeah,
that God, that's always awesome. So anticlimactic, honey.
It is. That's the whole point. And one of these days, I'm going to put some really awesome sound effect in. It's going to like have things blowing up, and you won't hear it when we record it. But then people will be like, "What happened during the mixing?"
But no, people are going to miss your little noise.
I know.
Don't ever put anything else in there.
I won't. I make that pledge to you. Here we are. You know, the last segment, if you're on the radio, you probably shouldn't go back and listen to the last segment because nothing constructive happened at all. yet we talked for like 45 minutes. So let's talk about DVDs
yeah, real quick. Those little discs of joy.
Yes. My favorite one for the week is Batman the Brave and the Bold. It's season one, but the second half, season one, volume two.
Is that like a soap opera starring Batman?
That's The Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, my bad.
Why I know the name of the soap opera. Not only did I get your joke, but I was able to tell you what the name of the soap opera was.
Yep, you were. Love you.
I feel bad now. no, this is a Batman animated show, and what it is, the old Brave and the Bold comic book had other superheroes teaming up with Batman every week. And so this one's done. It's a little bit lighter. It's a little more, it's not as like goofy as like Super Friends. You know, it's not, oh, chum or anything like that. Huh. But it's not as dark and heavy as like The Dark Knight and the first Tim Burton Batman movie.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Batman animated.
Yeah, that's pretty good. There's also Sharktopus.
Woo!
Because, you know, I described it this way. I said, the hybridization of a shark and an octopus to make the horror monster that is Sharktopus is like taking Roger Corman and mating him with the Sci-Fi Channel, which also yields Sharktopus on Blu-ray.
Wow. I'm going to rent it now based on that.
Yes. And then there's The Fighter, which notice how I throw down for Sharktopus first over The Fighter.
You did.
Yeah.
Is it because you like Sharktopus more?
Yes.
Wow. See, no, I love The Fighter.
You loved it? See, I thought it was okay. I just thought it was a little overly done at times.
Oh, okay. I could see that. I actually had no frame of reference for it when I saw it, and saw it kind of before the hype.
Yeah. I wonder what it was like, if you saw it, like, now, like, after they both win, you know, both Bale and Leo win the Academy Award. It's got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, I think people would probably be like, it's a good movie. You know? Good. Kind of anticlimactic.
Yep. And then there's also Hereafter. Which has an interesting I did not like Hereafter as a movie. I thought it was just incredibly boring. It opens up with a really great action sequence, which is the 2004 tsunami. And this is like the most unfortunate timing of its release on DVD.
Oh my God, you're right. Yikes.
It literally came out on DVD like 4 or 5 days after tsunamis wiped out like 10,000 people in Japan.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Which is horrifying. And then on top of it, to make matters worse for this movie, it was actually in theatrical release in Japan at the time.
Oh.
So they have since pulled it from Japan. It's not in the Japanese theaters anymore. And Warner Brothers is donating portions of the proceeds of the sale of this DVD, even though it has not, I mean, it's not like intentionally insensitive or anything.
Of course.
But it is one of those sort of like odd footnotes to the whole
Bummer.
Thing. So they're donating. Warner Brothers is apparently donating to the cause, the relief fund. So.
You know why I actually refused to see this movie? It was just because of the really weird website that is in the trailer like 7 times.
Oh, the one that's like, I can speak to the dead?
Well, yeah, and it's like Matt Damon's face like emerges from the shadows all creepy in like a flash animation, and I just thought that was so dumb that I refused to see it.
Well, no, actually, in the movie, the whole thing is in the movie, it's an old website. It just happened to still be up. The character had designed it like 5 years beforehand.
Oh, yeah, that's easily misunderstood in the trailer, and I'm never going to see this movie.
That's funny. One more I really want to just throw, just because of what it was sent with me. There's a movie called A Shine of Rainbows, which actually was nominated for, won the Moving Picture Award, or the Truly Moving Picture Award from Heartland Films. When they sent me the DVD for review, which I haven't watched yet, they sent me a package of Kleenex.
Whoa. That's presumptuous.
A little package of tissues. I will say it's the first movie I've ever gotten that required tissues and came with them.
Is it because it was really sad or really erotic?
I'm thinking it's probably because it's sad.
But
there's a picture of a girl getting rained on because there's a rainbow.
I'm so just maybe, saying.
Who knows? All right. We got to stop talking about that. What are your picks?
I'm really excited about something coming out on Blu-ray this week. The Anchorman Legend of Ron Burgundy DVD.
I love Lamp.
I love Lamp too, and I threw a trident. That's all I'm going to say. No, this movie is amazing.
I love this movie.
Anything like, just Will Ferrell's at his best in this movie, like saying words like pirate hooker. Amazing climax with, polar bears or whatever it was. Just amazing.
I want to get on you.
It's definitely, I think, his best movie of all time.
Uh-huh, absolutely. And then there's also The Switch.
That's right, The Switch. Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman. Whoops.
Oops.
Ugh. I just want Jennifer Aniston to stop doing lame movies.
I want Jennifer Aniston to stop doing movies.
Oh, no, she's so good when she's being angry and dark.
I don't know.
Okay.
Like what?
Agree to disagree. Good Girl. Leprechaun.
I will give her Leprechaun.
Friends with Money.
Only because it's St. Patrick's Day.
Blind and Begora, or whatever those words are that I don't know.
Top of the morning.
Barney Stone, there.
Barbie, A Fairy Secret, that just makes her look plastic and weird, even more than normal. And then we got to go. Thanks to Gray Drake for being on the show again.
Thank you, Kevin.
Always a pleasure. And we will catch you later.
Bye, guys. Boom, CNN, licking Anderson Cooper's face, bitches.